You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at wicn.org. Good evening, I'm Al Voner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. So nice to have you with us. Hey, I don't know about you, but this year I've been more excited than normal. That does mean I have a pulse. But besides that, the fact of the matter is that we have a big birthday coming up this year, and not mine, not yours, but the United States. This 4th of July, we'll be celebrating 250 years as a country. Many of you who have been tuning in realize that for the last few weeks, we've been talking about a lot of issues that led up to how we became a nation, where we are as a nation, the good points, the bad points, all the things that really affect people across the globe, but specifically here in the United States. And this week is no different. In fact, my guest is Harvard Law Professor Alexandra Natapoff, and she's the editor of a new book, America Unfinished. And this is a compilation of essays written by law professors from around the country on the issues affecting this country today, tomorrow, and even some of the issues that have originated years ago but still fester in many people's lives today. So for the next half hour, I'll be talking with Alexandra about the book. And as I said, keep in mind that it is all part of the celebration of the United States. Alexandra, nice to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You know, you and I had a chance to talk a little bit before broadcast, and as I even mentioned to the in the opening remarks, the fact that we're coming up on 250 years as a country, as a nation. It has not been easy. There have been ups and downs. Many people right now in the year 2026 feel that we've gone astray. We've not held to the morals. We've not held to the ideals, I should say, that were originally part of the Declaration of Independence and the founding of this country. But when you progress, you go by 250 years, there's bound to be many, many changes. But first and foremost, America Unfinished. Whose idea was it to put together a book with essays critiquing who we are as a nation and what's been happening for the last 250 years?
Yeah, so I and another colleague of mine at Harvard Law School, Professor Guy Charles, we have been grappling with this birthday. You mentioned, birthdays are sometimes tough for all of us. And this is the birthday, not just of America, but it's the birthday of this experiment that we're running in a legal democracy, running our democracy through law. And we're law professors. We're very privileged and grateful to be legal scholars and legal teachers. And so we were really grappling with how can we appreciate and engage and step up at this crucial moment in our legal democracy, in the American legal democracy that we have been studying and working in for decades. And so we decided to invite all our colleagues at Harvard Law School to contribute as short essays, no essays more than about 4 or 5 pages, on their take on this birthday, their take on this moment. What are we doing right? What have we done wrong? What should we do? Experts from all different areas of the legal academy, all at Harvard Law School, and that's what this book is.
We are not perfect by any means. Anybody will tell you that, whether you've lived here your whole life or whether you've come from another country looking for new opportunities. But then again, I always believe that there is no such thing as perfect. But we are a young nation. We are still going through many, many changes. But you specifically, in your role as law professor and also somebody who's worked within the system itself, the legal system I'm talking about, you need to have laws, you need to have rules, you need to have order. Otherwise, many say it'll be total chaos. However, today there seems to be more and more, and I don't know if maybe because of social media and things are a little different today than they were 50 years ago. Many people, you can find even in your own neighborhoods, 3 people across the street believe we're going in the wrong direction, and people on the right-hand side of the street majority believe that we're okay. But without, I guess what I'm trying to say, Alexandra, is without laws, without order, I believe the country never would have gotten as far as it's gotten. It hasn't been perfect, but would you agree that you must have laws to keep stability?
Well, so, as you say, law itself, running a democracy through law, is not perfect. It's messy. It's been a messy 250 years. But the alternative to law is not necessarily chaos. The alternative to law is power, unchecked brute power. Of course, that's what the founding the founding leaders of the United States resented and feared, and wrote the Declaration of Independence in resistance to the unchecked power of the monarchy. And so we sometimes say that law or legal democracy or rule of law is the alternative to the most powerful person in the room with the biggest stick making all the decisions. Instead, we come together. We come together as a democracy. We come together as a community to have the conversation, to have the argument, sometimes to have the profound disagreements that we have, to craft the laws that we agree to live by. As you say, they're not perfect. And it's one of the reasons that the title of this book is America Unfinished. The project is unfinished. We work on it every generation, and then we hand it down to the next generation to keep working on it. So no one's claiming that it's perfect. I myself have spent my entire legal career engaging in, criticizing, trying to think of ways to make our legal system work better. But the alternative to law, to a democracy and consent of the governed, is centralized, unchecked, brute power. That's really the lesson of the Declaration.
And many people would agree, because if you, in whether you're a history buff or not, you realize that back at the when the colonies were just colonies and still, as you say, under the monarchy, many felt that they had no representation, they had no voice. Laws and rules were imposed upon them. But Alexandra, I feel more. It seems like the last few years, I hear more and more people feeling that. Whether it's the legal system, whether it's law enforcement, or the combination of that, along with governing those who govern us, those who write the laws, who put them into effect, I feel that we've taken many steps backwards. That once again, the average man or woman in this country today has no more, almost feels as if they have no more rights than they did 250 years ago. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but many people feel very disenfranchised from their government and from even law enforcement. Is that normal, or is this something? Is this a new form of upheaval in this country?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, as you flagged, I myself write in the area of criminal law. I was a public defender in Baltimore before I became a law professor. And in the criminal system, of course, we struggle all the time with whether the legal system is just, is it fair, is it truly creating public safety, is it discriminating against some people, is it letting some people off the hook? And the essays in this book, there are 62 essays by 62 different Harvard law professors. Actually, over half the faculty contributed an essay to the book, which turns out has never happened before in the history of Harvard Law School either. We've been around for 200 years and we've never tried anything like this. But the moment is so important that people thought it was really important to come together and write in this way. And you'll see in each of the essays, each one is a kind of an answer to your question. What about voting rights? How have voting rights and our elections changed so that they no longer necessarily represent or elevate the power of the ordinary voter? How has the criminal system been permitted to run in ways that work well for the powerful and for the elite, but not very well for the ordinary person? How does our economic system of governance are the rules that govern corporations and labor and consumers and the market and bankruptcy. How have those laws elevated the interests of the wealthy, of powerful economic and concentrated corporate interests to the detriment of working people, of ordinary people? And you see actually throughout the collection in each of these essays, a different window, if you will, into each piece of law that has permitted this to happen. There are a few, I think there's some success stories. You'll see in the book different scholars celebrating the progress that we have made, appreciating, for example, the kinds of political engagement that, of course, the founders did not support, probably, you know, couldn't even envision, the kinds of protections that we have for free speech that have been developed over decades, literally over centuries. And so it's not all one answer, as we just said a moment ago. It's kind of messy. It's a messy 250-year experiment. But I think part of the spirit of the book and the ethos of the book was to say, this is not a ghost in the machine. This is not magic. We have made decisions as a democracy. We've permitted things to happen in our community, in our laws, in our governance structures that have led to the situation we see today. And we can identify it. We can see see what the mechanisms are, which means we could change it.
And I'm glad you used the term experiment, because I personally believe that even though we're 250 years old, we are continually, as you said, evolving. And each time is an experiment until it seems to take hold. Not everybody would agree with that, but it certainly seems to be that way. I just want to take a quick pause to remind our listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Voner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. My guest this week is Harvard Law Professor Alexandra Nadipoff, and she has just edited a new book of essays, America Unfinished, 250 Years of Law and Governance. And with this being the 250th anniversary of the founding of this country, I thought it was an appropriate time to have Alexandra on and talk about the evolution of this country, the changes. And Alexandra, you hit it right on the nose that, we have... I heard you say that we have had things changed for the good. There's more free speech. 50 years ago, women felt that they couldn't get ahead in the workforce. That has all changed. Minorities have made gains. And for some reason, I'm not saying that everything was perfect. I'm certainly not saying that or claiming that at all. But for some reason, people tend to focus more on the negative, that goes on, and hardly ever take a look at the progress that we made. Do you see it that way, or do you have a different take?
I absolutely, it's a push and a pull. It's a cycle. One of the challenges, I think, is to understand and remember what law has brought us, the value of law, what we can accomplish through law, even as we remain critical and challenging and don't sit on our hands or rest on our laurels, as it were, or sometimes sadly throw up our hands in despair and say, there's nothing we can do there. It is not the case that there's nothing we can do. There is always something we can do in a democracy with the legal structures of governance and engagement that we have, imperfect as they are. You said a moment ago that you liked the word, the concept of the experiment, the idea that this is an ongoing project. And I'll just flag, we stole the title of the book, America Unfinished, as we're from the Gettysburg Address. We have been having this conversation for a long time. And in the Gettysburg Address, Lincoln, he famously said that the world will little note nor long remember what we say here. Of course, that's a famous phrase. But the next two sentences were, but it can never forget what they did here, meaning the soldiers who died. Mm-hmm. And he says, it is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work, which they who fought here have thus so nobly advanced. And we really took that to heart, the idea that at every stage in our American democracy, there have been improvements. The Civil War, of course, and Reconstruction was a rewriting of our national values. Was it perfect? No. Is it finished? No. Did it go the way we hoped? No. But the tools of law, and we try to convey this to our students, because in addition to legal scholars, of course, we're teachers. We teach hundreds of law students, and we try to convey to them the challenge, the power, and the responsibility that comes with engaging the law as a legal thinker, as an attorney. The law can be very, very powerful, for better or for worse. And that's a responsibility that we all bear.
I know you alluded to it a little bit earlier in the broadcast, because I feel very strongly about this, and I get the sense that in spite of the many challenges and the unfinished work that is yet to be done, no country, no civilization could survive as long as we or any other country has without laws, without rules. There has to be some order. Everybody just calling their own shots Monday through Saturday would certainly not work, at least not in my view. And I think many people would agree with that. But, you know, Alexandra, there's so much criticism, and it's almost disheartening. We're still a very young country. Nations around the world have been around for centuries, much longer than the United States, and yet they too grapple with many issues. Why is it that we feel that? I talked to so many people in the course of a week just to get a sense on this. Many people say, oh, we don't do anything right, or we should have done this, we should have done that. And I always want to come back and say, well, you know, who's doing it right? Who's got it down pat? Nobody. So even countries and civilizations that have been around a lot longer, they're still grappling with many of the problems as well, aren't they not?
So of course we all grapple. You might say that's part of the human condition. Maybe part of the human condition, living in community, not by ourselves, but in an effort to work together to create the kind of communities and the kind of polity that we all want to live in, hence the term unfinished. And of course, every community, every polity grapples, but we grapple differently. And I think one of the opportunities that we have at this 250th is to think about what it is that the United States has tried to do differently than, as you say, nations that have been working on this for longer than we have. So famously, at the founding, the idea that we would run a government through the consent of the government, through the consent of the governed, through law, and not through a monarchy, not through an unchecked, centralized, all-powerful authority. That was a radical idea. The idea that we would just decide as ordinary people, we would come together and make our own rules through the democratic process. That was different. We created a model that was, of course, then imitated around the world. We were and are a diverse country. We were diverse at the founding. With all kinds of racial, religious, famously different religious groups, as well as economic classes. So this is also an experiment in different sorts of people and groups living together. It's one of the famous challenges of American democracy that other nations who may be less diverse than we are may not have had to grapple with in the same ways. And there are several essays in this collection. My co-editor, Guy Charles, who writes an essay, it's titled One People, The Audacious Provocation of America. And he argues that the challenge thrown down by the Declaration of Independence is, can we do this together as a diverse community where we do not have the same interests? We don't all agree, and yet we agree to do it by law. One of the wonderful things about this collection, I think, is that We have many luminous historians on our faculty, and they write for this collection to give us a sense of the arc, the difference between the founding to the Civil War, through the New Deal, and all the way up until today, where we're grappling with challenges that would have literally been unimaginable to prior generations. How are we going to govern ourselves in the face of artificial intelligence? What kind of choices do we want to make about an artificial intelligence that is currently created, run, and controlled not by an accountable democracy, frankly, but by private economic interests? Mm. Challenges that look nothing like the challenges at the founding. So we're an experiment. We're also in some ways a unique experiment in the world. And so coming together on the 250th to hear from people who have been writing about, studying, and grappling with these issues for decades, literally decades of expertise in this book, we hope that it will be fruitful and helpful to the conversation.
Two things that you just mentioned that I think are so vital to not only the book, but certainly the issue of what's happening here in this country as we approach the 250th. And one I couldn't agree with you more is the fact of diversity. When the colonies were founded, all people were originally from Britain, and were familiar with monarchy and chose to leave that behind. We have since become one of the most, if not the most, diverse nation on the planet. And when you have people from different ethnic backgrounds, different philosophies, especially as they come to this country, you can't be expected to assimilate right away. It's going to take time. It's going to take dialogue. So I do believe that diversity is a major issue, and I'm glad that you recognize that right off the bat. And the other one that a lot of people don't want to talk about is the fact that we live in an age of social media, and today anybody has the freedom and the will and the wherewithal to put forth an ideology or ideas, whether it's intended to influence the masses, I don't know. But that is one of the, one of the freedoms that we have in this country. So going back to what you talked about, America Unfinished, these are new challenges and even some old challenges that still need refining, and it will take time. As we start to wind down, let me get your sense on all of this. A lot of people will, argue one way or the other, and never, never back off. But I do get the sense that, in spite of the fact that you've pinpointed many of the challenges, and through colleagues within America Unfinished, the book, that you still believe that there is hope. And there is a willingness among the citizens of this country to eventually move things forward as we have done for 250 years. Is that indeed how you feel?
I'll speak for myself. I wouldn't dare speak for 62 of my colleagues.
No, right.
People can read their essays themselves. I myself am hopeful about our legal system. And I say this as someone who worked in one of the most challenging, sometimes dehumanizing and ugly spaces in our legal system, which is our criminal system. And even there, even where people were whose lives were being devastated, whose families were being devastated, communities were being over-policed and weighted down by the legal system, we still, as you say, we still saw people's willingness to fight, to argue, to hope, to try to make things better. Dedicated communities, dedicated attorneys, willing to fight incredible odds. There's something very hopeful about coming together in the face of great odds and taking pride in standing up and standing up for the vulnerable and standing up for the right thing and standing up for the rule of law and standing up for fairness. And so I think there is a lot of pride in our democracy and in our history of standing up and our willingness to stand up. And again, I just want to emphasize what I hope this book will share with people is that it is not magic. It is not a ghost in the machine. our legal system gives us tools for standing up. And the more we understand it, and the more we're willing to come together to wield those tools, the better we can make our legal system. Is it perfect? No. Will it be easy? No. But was it easy 250 years ago when the founders were willing to fight a war against Britain? No. So we have a luminous history of standing up and pushing back that I think we can rightly celebrate.
Yeah, well, wonderfully said, and I can agree with you more that if you don't have to be a history buff, just look back 250 years, nobody would have bet on the colonies surviving or being able to pull away from Britain and the monarchy, and yet here we are 250 years later because people were not willing to play along with the status quo. So good advice in all of this. The book is America Unfinished, and it is an essay. It is no one person's fervent belief. It's just a matter of a combination of essays written about the legal system, the advancement of this country, the challenges that we still have to face, and also much of what has happened in the past. It is dynamic. It is constantly on the move. And as anybody would understand that there's no such thing as perfection. So it takes a lot of people and a lot of effort and a lot of willingness to go forward. Again, I want to thank my guest this week, the editor, one of the editors of the new book, America Unfinished, Alexandra Nadipoff. Alexandra, if people want to reach out to you directly, is there a way they can do that? Or is there a website or an email?
Absolutely. The Harvard Law School website has my email, and it also has a page devoted to the book. It's HLS, harvardlawschool.harvard.edu/America Unfinished. There's links to the book. There's links to more information about the essays, about the authors, and additional resources that we hope will be helpful to anyone who are interested, who's interested in this vast array of legal issues.
Sounds good to me. And I, with that, I want to close out by wishing everybody a happy 250 years as we celebrate this milestone, 250 years of a country who most people probably wouldn't have bet a dime back 250 years ago that we'd be where we are today. Are we perfect? No, but we certainly are a great nation, and there's a lot of hope in many people's hearts and minds, and I think that's what's most important. If you have any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.